How's everybody doing? As you can see, I don't have little octagons behind me. It's not colorful. It's actually plain Jane. Very, very white. We have nothing on the walls right now. We're moving in, but that doesn't stop me from giving content out and talking about different things. This is actually going to be a two-part series. What I'm going to do for you guys, I'm going to talk about buying this building, what went into the building, all the different things that had to go into it. This is my first building. I went into it very blind. Everybody said the first building you buy is like giving birth. It's painful. You don't know what's happening. You have a bunch of questions. And then after that, you kind of understand everything afterwards. So I want to share all that knowledge with you. I wish there was a podcast out there that walked me through how to buy a building. I'm going to try and give you as much information as possible on my experiences. And, we'll go from there. I've been looking for a building for about 5 or 6 years. It has been a long, drawn out process. I was actually in escrow on one building. Then I lost a bid on a second building. And then the third building, and I think we gave an LOI and then we pulled out very quickly afterwards when we found out there was a lot of structural damage to the building. So it has been a long going in the five years. I'd say probably 11 buildings I've looked at, a very niche area that I was after before I finally said, screw it, separated the two companies. The software company and the manufacturing company. As soon as I did that, then buildings fit every single way and away we went. So let's see here, right at the start. LoopNet is the MLS, the Sandecor, whatever you want to call it for residential. LoopNet's the commercial version of it. It is free, you can get onto it, but you as a buyer have a very limited knowledge of what's on there, just like you would on the MLS or what Zillow looks like. And then you're going to need a broker to see all the nuts and guts behind it. So I got myself my broker, Tiggs his name, great guy, went to Fiji with him multiple times and golfed together quite a bit. So a good friend of mine, I trust him. And I said, hey, these are the parameters I'm looking for. I'm looking for 4,000 to 8,000 square feet. I'm looking for a newer build somewhere in this La Mesa, El Cajon area, very close to home. I don't want to drive more than 10 minutes. Let's see what's out there. A couple of them came up, a couple more subleased, lease to own, and just didn't really fit. I had known about this building my whole entire life. You know, I moved in this area when I was 8 years old. I drove by this building, was literally on the stomping path on the way home. So whenever my parents picked me up from school, we would drive right by this building to go to my parents' house. My parents live literally 2 miles that way. I live a mile this way. We have deep roots here, the Clippinger family, so we don't go very far. In fact, I mean, we had a full Christmas, there'd be over 100 Clippingers just in Southern California. So we know how to reproduce. We do not know how to move, apparently, was to be the key there. But anyway, I knew about this building for many, many years. And when it came on the market, it was very high. She wanted, the old owner wanted $3.2 million for a 6,100 square foot building. At the time, very ludicrous, out of the price range, was ridiculous and nothing that we were going to buy. So I just kept an eye on it. It was on the market for 8 months. And then finally, they dropped it down to 2.5 million. In my heart, I always knew 2.3 was a sweet spot to be in. I watched it for another month or two and then came in and said, hey, we're going to offer 2.4 million. They counter with 2.5. And then I want to say a week went by and we said, our top is 2.45. And I said, right in the middle there, and that's all we're going to do. I thought it was a really nice token. And then as soon as I went for the middle, she countered with a higher price and changed the terms. What I mean by that is we were going to put 10% down to hold an escrow. Then we were going to put another 10% down once we removed all contingencies, and the last 80% would be paid for by the bank doing the loan. When we said 2.45, the second time she countered, not the first time. So the first time she was fine with the terms. The second time she countered, then she said, I want 20% and asked for more money than the first time. So she did kind of a bait and switch of, oh, you don't want to take my first offer? Well, it's going to be way worse. I had no idea. She thought she was working with somebody that didn't have the ability to walk away. She thought, you know, once they're in love, that's it. That's not how it works in the commercial world. So we went ahead and just moved along. I told her, I said, I'm walking away from this deal. We don't change terms. It's not going to happen. Took her only about 5 days to come back to the table and say, never mind, original terms, but my higher number. And I said, no, because you're playing games, it's my offer or nothing, or we're going to walk and look at another building. Secretly, I really wanted her to take that building. I really wanted her to take the offer, but I was ready to prepare to walk away from it. And I will say that's probably lesson number one. you have to walk away from the buildings, even though you love them. I truly love this building. I love the location. I love the size. I love the parking. I love location to the shopping centers. It checked every box I wanted to for a long-term process where I only had to drive a mile and a half to work. I loved it, but you got to know when to walk away and don't get into a bad deal. So we had walked. Within 5 days, she reconsidered, had been on the market for 8 months, and she said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and sign. So we go into escrow. Mistake number one. That was my first mistake right there, is I went into escrow and opened escrow papers as soon as we made a deal. I thought this was a residential buy. This is not a residential buy. This is a commercial buy. And there's a whole new set of rules and a whole new game plan that goes into this. So previously, before I was looking, I did this backwards. So when I found the building, I instantly ran to the bank and said, hey, I want to get a loan and I want to do an SBA loan. Now, normal loans right now are 20% down, or some banks 25% down, and then you finance the rest. Well, me being cash poor at the time, I said, okay, I want to do an SBA loan because that's only 10% down. And then I get more of my cash to keep inside in my own pockets. So he said, okay. And they said, let's turn you over to a lady named Mary. Mary was helping me. She was with a finance company for SBA loans. That's all they do. And there was two types of SBA loans. Now, I don't remember the details, so I'm not about to give you bad information, so I'm going to let this be. But there are two types of SBA loans. I can't remember if it's a 504 and a 701. I can't remember the numbers, but there are two types. One is going to be better for you based on where you're at in the world and your estate. But in the end, I believe the 504, don't quote me on the numbers, was the one I ended up going with. It fit better for me. But there are two SBA loans, so do your homework on that. The SBA loan company said, you're approved for the dollar amount. I went back to the bank and said, you're approved for the dollar amount. I said, cool, we're going to go ahead and open escrow and get this going. And all three converged at once. Horrible idea. Please learn from me on this one. Submit an LOI, letter of intent to purchase, and then just hold. Here's the reason why. As soon as you open escrow, they want funds. So you got to put the funds in there. And immediately that clock is ticking. And they wanted to close escrow inside of 90 days, which is very typical. You know, some the quick commercial 60 days, normal's 90, long is 120. So what happened was they said, we want a 90-day escrow and it's got to be closed in 90 days, but we're not going to give you the keys until 2 months after. And I said, absolutely not. We're going to have the escrow be longer because the day I get the keys, all your tenants are going to be out. I'm not going to go evict tenants after I get a building. So that was a smart move on my part, is to make sure the building was empty and I didn't have any tenants in here, because I didn't make a deal with them. They could turn into squatters. We don't want that. But here's the mistake. When I opened escrow, the clock started ticking and the first words out of their mouth was, how much tenant improvement money are you going to need for this building? And I said, I don't know. Put $700,000 down. Where's the problem? Here's your number of the purchase plus $700,000. This is where it is. The $700,000 is my cutoff. No, banks and SBA don't like that. They want to have a contractor give a solid bid for the building. Now, for me, that sounds a little backwards, right? I don't know if I want the building. I haven't done my inspections. I have no idea if the slab's cracked. I have no idea if the roof is leaking every single time it rains. I have no idea on any of this information, but yet you're telling me that I have to have a contractor go run all through this, get all of his subs together, perform a bid, give me solid numbers before you give it a hard bless and send it to your underwriter before I can remove escrow. If I was very serious about the building, I will tell you right now, when you're buying a building, if you're very serious about it and you're going to open escrow, plan on everything being wrong. Plan on the roof leaking, plan on a slab crack of some kind, plan on all that stuff. If you think you're buying a perfect building, you're not and you never will. You got to get that out of your head. So with that being said, I instantly had to launch three different companies because I had to get bids, three different contractors, which one ended up not really working out. So I only got really two bids, two contractors, two bids, and at the same time, an inspection report on the building. And the SBA wanted something called an environmental report, which I've never even heard of before, but I had to go hire a company to the tune of $6,000 to get an environmental report to appease the SBA. Again, something I've never even heard of.
I want to take a moment to talk about true champions that are helping the industry out, and that's Wendy Graves. You guys have all known her for Women in Science. She's been pushing that for quite some time, but she's also made a new alliance to help the industry out, and that's with Make It Happen Signage Academy here. I don't want to get this wrong here, so I'm going to read right from this. www.signage-academy/MIH-glance. That's the information. We're going to go ahead and put it at the bottom of the show notes here and on this clip so you guys can click on it. She's going to be working with the Make It Happen Signage Academy for the Illuminated Signage Bootcamp, what's on the front lines, teaching project managers, sales, and everything in between. So definitely sign up for those things. Wendy's been doing some great work, so you definitely want to support her, and you're going to learn a lot.
So the environmental report, which I found later on, kind of dumb, kind of helpful. Here's the reason why. And I found this out on the other building later on after the fact, the one I didn't get when I lost the bid for that one 3 years ago. Why I was doing the environmental, ran into that broker and he explained this to me. There was a gas station on the property 50 years ago in the one I lost. And they did an environmental report and there was still gasoline in the dirt, which means that you couldn't dig in the dirt, which means you couldn't put a foundation on there. And so the dirt was basically contaminated in the lifespan of some environmentalist somewhere in the history of time said it has to be 70 years before it is fully evaporated or the soil has repurposed enough that it's not a problem you can dig. So they had to do an environmental report on the building. Now, luckily it passed. The building was already here. It's not like we're building new. But nonetheless, SBA needed an environmental report. Check that box, finally. We put funds into escrow. Check box number two. Now we had to open an escrow with an escrow firm, not the bank. This is a completely different company. And now we have another entity barking orders trying to get information from us to get the escrow clean. So not only am I not dealing with the bank, I'm dealing with the owner, I'm dealing with the SBA lady, and now I'm dealing with an escrow officer, all four. Oh, and my broker, five. And the other broker, six. So there's six people all barking orders while I'm trying to buy this commercial building. And all of them acts like this is the 100th building I bought. And no matter how many times I've told them, this is my first building, hold my hand, none of them did. So you do not expect any hand-holding. If you get hand-holding, it's above and beyond. These people don't care. It's just paperwork for them. So don't think you're going to get a special treatment. Do your homework. Ask a lot of questions. That would be cool. That'd be statement number two for learning on this one. Ask a lot of questions. And I don't give a shit if you spend 5 hours with them. That should have been a 30-minute sign in the papers. Until you're comfortable, do not sign anything. All right. So the six people I'm dealing with. Now I get in, the inspector comes in to the tune of $11,000. Now, normally inspectors for a residential house are $400 to $800. I expected in a commercial building a grand or two. Oh no. The word C for commercial equals bend me over and take all my money. To which the guy does the exact same thing as a residential. He comes in, he goes, roof doesn't look that good. I would consider replacing it. I think the floors need to be removed. There is a water leak over here. And the same stuff as a residential. And it's even more subjective. I think it's at its useful lifetime. I'm not sure about this. I paid him a bunch of money to hear his thoughts of a he's and haws with zero black and white answers. Absolutely ridiculous. If I didn't get an SBA loan, I never would have gotten an inspection report. I would have rather come in here and bought the little zapper thingy for the hot and the cold for $500 and plugged some plugs in. Wasted my money and time. I didn't allocate with an inspector. And he was the most, everybody told me he's the best. He's the best. I don't even want to know what a bad one looks like. But the inspection report was a ripoff, a joke. Couldn't even be unhappier. And even then, part of the roof that he said was good ended up not being good. I don't get to go back to him and say, hey, you screwed up. Give me some of my money back. Nope. It's just a report. Just some subjective report. So the inspection report, don't think anybody's doing you any favors on that one. You got to do your homework yourself. Literally, when it rains, just go hang out in your new building and see what happens during the rainy season because the inspector's not going to tell you crap. So all this is happening at the same time. I'm pulling the trigger on two contractors. They're like, you need to give us a floor plan and design the inside of the building. I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to buy the building yet. And you're already asking me to design it. Feels like the cart before the horse. But this is what happens in the commercial world. So that's what we're doing. So now we're designing the inside of the building and trying to design all the TIs. Now the contractor is asking me, what type of rug do you want? What type of walls do you want? What type of flooring do you want? And I'm in the back of my mind going, this is a gigantic waste of time. I may not buy this building yet. I still haven't seen the full inspection report to find out what's what. But nonetheless, we have to go down this path. So we're going to go down this path and we're going to figure it out. So we draw out the floor plan. Now the architect's like, hey, by the way, I only work with one contractor. If you work with another contractor, you have to cease work with me, pay me, and then you have to start all over with somebody else. Okay, so I didn't get a third party contractor, got one with the other one. Luckily for me, It ended up being the contractor I went with, so it was all good, but I could have had another problem there. So the architect, make sure they don't have an alliance with a contractor before you hire them, or know that contractor really well if you go down that path. So as an architect, we design it. He designs the floor plan. He designs everything. It lays it out and said, there's your walls for that. Go ahead and get me a bid. He goes, great. Runs out, grows all the subs, and we have an on-site meeting to which all the subs are throwing 1,000 different ideas at me. And I'm sitting here going, you do this more than I do. What would you do if it was your building? They give it to me. I said, that's a great idea. Cool with that. Next person. They're like, I would do this class or that class. I'm like, okay, tell me why. This is better. I said, how much more is it? Like, it's 30% more. Sorry, don't have it in the budget. Go with the cheaper stuff. Well, you're going to hear people's voices. Yeah, we live in an office. It's okay. The glass will help. You know, and you are taking all this information in, which is overwhelming if you haven't done a lot of construction. I ironically have done a lot of construction. It was still overwhelming. So we get everything done. And for 30 some trades, we're throwing questions at you for 2 hours, hour and a half. They're all done and then they leave. And then within the next 2 weeks, they all submit a bid. This is another thing I had no clue about. And this got me later on. Some of them submitted the bid for what needed to be done. Some of them submitted the bid for the lowest price possible so they could get the work. You know what they did as soon as they got on board? Change order, change order, change order, change order. To which I went, go away, go away, go away. And to the point that I couldn't say that and I had to start signing over change orders, signing over change orders. Those type of contractors I'm not a fan of. I don't like them because they knew and I knew what they bid for was never going to be useful. It wasn't what it was for. You know, I don't appreciate that at all. I only unfortunately got to fire only one of the subs, but the other subs had to eat the change orders due to time frames and the speediness of what we're doing. So we get the bid. It was coming out to be $714,000. The inspector, the only good thing about the inspector was he gave a bid and he says, well, what's your TI budget going to be? And I looked at it, said $720,000. He took my purchase price plus $720,000 and said, when it's all said and done, the building's going to be X number of dollars. So how much brain power did he use? Absolutely zero. He used no brain power whatsoever. He just gave me the numbers I needed to make the bank happy. Fine, whatever, win for us, I guess. So now the bank is all pleased. They're sad. They send it off to underwriting. Underwriting comes back and says, where are you getting the down payment? I said, well, part of it's in escrow and the other part of it's from this company. Well, why doesn't that company have it? I said, because they're all under a parent company. And they're all subsidiaries. I can move the money around as I want to. That was a whole new concept for the bank that I had to teach them. Sorry, you didn't understand taxes. My bad. So I had to sit there and teach them that. And they said, well, we still don't like it. I said, fine, I will transfer funds. They said, well, how do you know there's not a loan? I said, this is my company to my company. Long story short, they finally let me do the move because I had to explain to the underwriter. So then the funds are in that company that's going to buy the exact building. The underwriter says it's blessed. The underwriter comes back to the bank, says it's blessed. The bank goes, cool. Now that the SBA underwriter has got an approval, now we're going to send it to the bank for underwriting and see if it's really a go. Bank never told me that. They never told me I had to have multiple people sign off on that. I thought the SBA was in charge and the bank was along for the ride. Nope. Two completely separate companies, two completely sets of approvals. So now the SBA is done. Now we got to go to the bank and get approval. Now the contractor that gave me the bid goes, hey, are we worthy of bid or are we worthy of bid? I have no idea if you're going to get the bid. I don't even know if I'm buying the building. You guys seeing the conundrum here? This is what it's like when you buy a commercial building. This is exactly how it is. You have all these horse races all running the finish line and you don't even can get to tell them if there is really a finish line. This is all before the building actually closes escrow. It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. All in all, we got the approvals. And on October 30th, 2023, the day before Halloween, escrow closes. On Halloween day, the keys were handed to me and I was officially the owner of the building with one tenant that had not gotten out in time and asked me for 3 more days. He actually asked me for 7 more days and I said, cool, tell you what, I like your 2 couches. I can use them for my front entryway. Give me those 2 couches and I'll let you stay for an extra 7 days. That's your rent for 7 days. And don't make me evict you because really I should have never closed escrow with you still here. And he goes, nope, nope, not a problem. He moved out in 7 days, no eviction needed, all was good. And you know what he took? The 2 couches. Didn't even honor our deal whatsoever. Took all of his stuff, left, and I was sitting there with 7 days less construction time for this guy for no reason. That's the first half of buying a commercial building. I want to talk to you guys about the TIs, the build, and everything else that go into it. So you guys are more educated. It's a process. It really is. It's crazy what it takes to go into it. You got to have thick skin or else you're going to have sleepless nights. It's just money. It's just a building. You can make more money. There are other buildings. Try not to lose sleep over it. I only lost about two nights sleep when I thought that the building was going to go upside down after all that work. And then it turns out that everything was good in the end. I don't really remember why at this section, why it was turned up. I think the underwriter got cold feet for half a second because they didn't understand where the money was coming from. But in the end, it was a very small hiccup in the process. But it takes a lot. It takes a lot to buy a building. So this is part one. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to waterboard you with all these details. Next week on part two, we're going to talk about the TI, the building, what it took to actually get in here once we actually got the keys, which is a whole nother process, a whole nother gig. And I want to talk to you about that and learn from me as well. So enjoy your day and we'll talk to you next week.